brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I'm Dana Barrett, actually, not Elizabeth Gordon or Lee Cantor, but I'm filling in for both of them today. Elizabeth, unfortunately, had a little bit of an accident. She was running and hurt her foot. She can't walk, so she couldn't get herself to the studio this morning. So, you know, woman power, she was out there running and doing the right thing. And then, you know, sometimes these are the things that happen to us. But we are here on Results Matter after horrible day in traffic for me with some great guests from the Women's Leadership Forum. I have Julie Bryant Fisher from the Metro Atlanta Chamber, Leona Barr Davenport, President and CEO of the Atlanta Business League, and Ann Kramer, a regular visitor to our studios. She is the chair of the board for Georgia Shakespeare. Am I getting that right? And I'm reading what Karen sent me, and board of directors and officer for the Georgia Chamber of Commerce, and winner of the Dan Sweat Award.
Thank you.
So welcome, everybody. We do a lot of different things on Results Matter, and we definitely want to talk about the Women's Leadership Forum. That's going to be our main focus. But before we get to that, I do want to get a little background on each of you and sort of how you got to be a part of this great organization, where how your career sort of led you to this. So why don't we just start with you, Julie?
All right. Well, I worked for 12 years for the Atlanta Business Chronicle and was a journalist, gosh, for almost 20, which ages me, but that's okay. I'm over it.
And I do that every show. Give away my age somehow.
Yep, there it is. 42. How about that?
Uh-oh. Nice.
There. It's there. And so while I was at the Atlanta Business Chronicle, I was so privileged to be brought into the circle of the Women's Leadership Forum and was even asked and accepted to be the MC, which was really intimidating, which means that I called my mom and said, "You're not going to believe this, Mom. I'm going to be the MC of this event." And it was a total thrill. So while I was with the Chronicle, I got to be a part of the advisory board. And when I left to cross over to the dark side of PR and communications, which is not so dark after all, they kept me on.
Nice.
And so I'm thrilled to still be a part of it. It's been fantastic.
So now what year were you the MC?
Let's see. I was the MC for a couple of years, including the year that Mayor Shirley Franklin was up on stage with me. And there's a picture, if you Google my name, Julie Bryant Fisher, I'm there with the mayor, which was one of the biggest moments of Shirley Franklin. I was just thrilled. I mean, I didn't even know what to do with myself, but here I am, like, practically grabbing her and hugging her, you know, like I've known her for my entire life. And it was a big moment. So, and that's the kind of moments that the Women's Leadership Forum brings.
That's really cool. And so when you told your mom you were doing it, she said what?
She didn't know what I was talking about.
She was like, huh? What are you talking about, Julie?
Good job, honey.
So journalist, now in PR.
Yes.
The dark side, as you said.
Yes.
And yeah. Doing what exactly?
Well, I'm senior manager at some kind of title, which just means that I get to work with the great Barry Love, who's one of the veteran pros of PR in this town. And if I was going to cross over, it had to be with somebody good. And so I got a great boss. And so I just basically do what she tells me to do.
Nice.
And learn.
Nice.
Yeah. It's great that the chamber is wonderful. We do a lot of exciting programs for folks. And I love the energy in the room. And I'm always impressed by the star power that's under the roof almost every day.
Wow.
Making things happen, which is cool.
Yeah, you can't complain about that.
Nope.
If you're liking what you're doing every day.
There you go.
Something's working. all right, let's move on to you, Leona. Tell me a little bit about your background, what you're doing now, and how you became a part of the Women's Leadership Forum.
Sure. I'm president and CEO of the Atlanta Business League, which is an 80-year-old business development and advocacy organization focused on the growth and development of African-American business owners. And one of the things I love to say is that the Atlanta Business League has been good for me, and I feel that I've been equally as good for it. We've grown up together, so that's one of the things that's exciting for me. In fact, I'm the longest running president of the organization in these 80 years, so
wow.
That's something that I'm very pleased about, and it offers all kinds of opportunities for outreach and growth and involvement in the community, which I absolutely love.
And how big is the organization?
The organization has 500 plus members. We have a constituent base of 15,000. So we communicate with up to 15,000 on any given week, any given day, depending upon what message we're trying to send out. So we have a large constituent base that we are engaged with, involved with, and that we send messaging to, and we invite their opinion about what we're doing and on any number of issues.
Well, you talked about getting messaging about what you're doing. So tell me a little bit about specifically what you guys do. What kind of programs do you do?
Sure. Because we're focused on the growth and development of African-American business owners, we provide ongoing seminars to our members on how to, you know, how to do business with the city, how to do business with the Georgia Powers, you know, how to communicate with the media, you know, how to market and advertise and sell your business. And what is the difference between those three words, sales, marketing, and advertisement, because they're all different but closely related.
Right.
And so and I like to say that a byproduct of what we do through our committees and through our seminars and training is that we grow leaders. When we think back on those people who've been involved with the organization over the years, Mayor Shirley Franklin, and Julie mentioned her earlier, has served on our board, Maynard Jackson, Tommy Dorch, Ambassador Andrew Young, Herman Russell, and I can name names that go as far, you know, far back.
I got chills.
Yeah, just awesome people. Ed Baker. So yeah. We have a cast of people who serve on the board and who share, but through their growth and development in the city, they've used the Atlanta Business League as a forum to give and to gain and to connect with people. So it's a fantastic organization.
And how did you get involved in the Women's Leadership Forum?
Well, interestingly enough, about 3 years ago, the Atlanta Business League was housed at one of the Georgia State buildings downtown off of Broad Street. And so I had a chance to meet a number of people at Georgia State. But that wasn't what actually connected us. Ed Baker, after being on our board, of course, we've gotten to know each other very well, and we have a lot of respect for each other. Ed suggested to someone that he said, why don't you reach out to Leon and see if she'd be like to be involved with the Women's Leadership Forum. And so my first year, I facilitated a forum, which was awesome. It was just a wonderful forum, and I enjoyed it so much. And the next year, if it was even the next year, maybe in a few months, I received a call saying, you know, we'd love to see you join us and participate with us in the forum. And I've been involved for the last 3 to 4 years, so nice. It's been wonderful.
And you guys are all board members of the forum, is that correct?
Advisory board members.
Advisory
yes.
board. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to overstate. You know.
Right.
I don't want to give you guys credit for something. That, you know. And speaking of giving people credit, let's move to you, Anne.
Thank you so much.
How are you today?
Oh, Dana, I'm great. Thanks so much. And I think I can represent sort of that 15-year perspective.
Okay.
Because, as you know, this is the 15th anniversary of our Women's Leadership Forum. And because I recently retired from IBM, and IBM had a history of commitment to women and professional development and leadership and being involved both in the community and the company, I was a part of both Robinson College, which is at Georgia State, which actually is the host with the Atlanta Business Chronicle. So from the beginning, almost 15 years ago, we were a part of creating what could be a place for women to be valued and to have a place to celebrate and be inspired and affirmed for the work that they were doing. So it's been my privilege to be involved with it almost from the beginning, but it makes it more, I think, expressive is the coordination and collaboration of so many of the women's organizations. I was the time chair of the International Women's Forum and started with the Atlanta Women's Network. And having this be that culmination and celebration where women come together as companies, as businesses, as organizations, teams, they're inspired and affirmed just to be there. And then the content itself is all about how we tell our stories and continue to empower each other. So I am thrilled. Beverly Langford has been leading this parade, making it happen. And for that, we're all grateful and proud to be a part of it.
Well, let's dig more into exactly what the forum is, because is it an event? Is it multiple events throughout the year? Tell me exactly what it is.
Well, the event is an annual gathering.
Okay.
This year, as you know, is our 15th annual gathering. And we usually have a wonderfully prominent keynote speaker that kicks us off with an inspirational but also instructional how to be more effective. You talk about results matter, how to be more effective at what you do. And then we have a series of breakout sessions. And then we have a wonderful closing with another inspirational speaker who is a success and role model for all of us. Like Julie mentioned, the mayor, Mayor Shirley Franklin. This year we have Carol Tomei, who's our closing speaker, who's the CFO from the Home Depot. And then we kick off with, I love it, Barbara Babbitt Kaufman, who is an icon in the marketing and tell your story field. So, and this year, I'm especially excited about one of the workshops is In the Midst of Change, What Stays the Same Over Time. And I think we all get so conflicted about change, 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 which is constant. If you don't change, you die. That's the survival ticket. And yet, I think it'll be fun, if not sort of the gravitational pull to values, which don't change over time. So I think every year we, our advisory committee, get to select the content,
okay,
the theme, the content, whom we want to speak, whom and how we want the sessions to go, bringing in those best and brightest of what we think are women's leaders, and especially having the diversity, both in age and industry sector and voices, so that you can see yourself where you are or where you want to be.
And is it a full day event?
Full day, starting in the morning, end after lunch.
And the date of the upcoming one is?
The date for this year is
April.
Oh, it's Friday, yeah. April the 5th. It's
April
coming
5th.
Up.
Okay.
It's this Friday.
And are people, who goes to this, I guess, is the next big question.
Well, and this is what's so fun. It can be groups. For instance, like IBMers have several tables where women are selected. It's an affirmation and sort of a recognition. But, of course, you could come by yourself. And because the Robinson School and the Atlanta Business Chronicle do a fantastic job of advertising, right?
Exactly.
Advertising and marketing, that you can sign up right on your own and come on down or come on up. It's going to be fabulous.
And you can still sign up even though it's this week? Are
yes,
there still
ma'am.
Spots available? Okay,
There's
good
last
to know. Seat,
last seats in the house.
Last seats, that's right. Still time. And so if someone does want to still come to this year's event, does anyone have the, you know, web address or wherever they can go to sign up handy?
Yeah, I think if you can do the simple thing we all do is just Google Women's Leadership Forum at Georgia State University, or you can go straight to the Atlanta Business Chronicle's website, and under their event bar, you can look under events and click on the information there.
Perfect. I want to move the conversation a little bit to kind of what women need in business right now, because many years ago, I did go to, I think it was a weekend-long women in business type seminar. I think it was in Florida, if I remember correctly, with some excellent speakers. And I remember feeling very empowered and recharged to get back into my business and continue to grow it and all of those things. And I do think there's a big benefit in that. But a lot of people I'm hearing people say things like, well, we don't need that anymore. Women are, it's all fine now. You're all equal. You don't need that. You're not a special interest group anymore. I'm doing the air quotes on the radio, but, yeah, well, there you go. But you know, so give me your thoughts on that.
You know, I think that that's naive to think that we've come so far. We have, but here's the thing about women, and we all know this, right? We like to talk, and there's something, that's just the way we communicate. So one of the things, you know, I've been going to this forum through a lot of big changes in my own personal life, including the birth of my first child, and I can remember that year thinking, how am I going to pull this off? I mean, I'm not even sure I can get up this morning and get, but you know, somehow I managed. I arrived at the show with matching shoes and some makeup on. And, you know, that was a big feat for me. And I stood in that room and I looked around and I thought, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. Because when women get together, you know, that's just what we do. We need to commune and come together as a group to talk about the issues that are specific to us. And that's what's so powerful about a forum like this is you're in the room with your peers, as Anne pointed out, you know, and here you are with those you aspire to be, those who speak directly to where you are right now, and those that you can help educate to get even to where you are at that moment. And coming together like that to listen to people tell their stories of how they sort of, you know, got through getting up on an early morning with a baby crying and here, honey, please give him a bottle. I've got to go, you know. That's powerful. And I think that's unique to women. And I think that it's very important that we continue to foster these kinds of forums specifically for women. It's not to say that, you know, we're excluding men or, you know, we've got – But we really do have different issues and a different perspective. And when we come together, it's a relief to get to talk and be honest and say, yeah, we're women. We communicate differently and we have different issues than men. And it's good to come together and learn from each other.
Well, and I think to some extent, and you all correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you're saying is that we're never going to stop needing this.
Oh, no.
And honestly, as much as we are, I have a 20-year-old daughter, speaking of aging yourself, and, you know, she's going into the, well, she's a junior in college, and she's thinking about what she wants to do next and all of those things. And I don't think she feels any inequality. I don't think she feels like there's any job that she can't do or any type of position that she can't have because she's a woman. She's very empowered, I think, which is wonderful. Yet we are still very different. I mean, women are distinctly different. And whether we want to acknowledge it or not, and I wish it wasn't the case, there is still prejudice. You know, there are men making hiring decisions who are, or women sometimes making hiring decisions who are saying, well, she's in her 30s, she might want to have babies, I probably should pick the man, or she's not going to be as effective, I won't pay her as much, or whatever. This is still happening. It's just not talked about as much. We want to believe we're equal. And I'm running on because I also want to bring up the fact that there's been a lot of stuff about women in business in the news of late. Mm-hmm. Three women are coming to mind. Marissa Mayer, obviously the CEO of Yahoo, with her no working from home policy and her coming back to work after 2 weeks of having a baby. And then there's Sheryl Sandberg with her Lean In book and mm-hmm. philosophy. And then just this week, her name is not coming into my head, but there was the woman from Princeton who wrote the article about women should find their husbands when they're in college. I don't know if you guys saw that. I have it here. I'll dig up the name. But anyway, did you guys see
that?
Yeah,
I've got to get a copy of that.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Okay, let's see. Here it is. I'm trying to find her name. She wrote a letter in the Daily Princetonian telling female students, basically, to find their quote-unquote prince at Princeton. And her perspective, and then I read an article. She got slammed in the media. I mean, absolutely slammed in the media by women saying, how dare you? You know, we're trying to be equal. We're not on the husband track, blah, blah, blah. She said, look, I was saying this stuff kind of as a Jewish mother giving advice to my girls. And her point was that we should not, as women, should not settle for men who are not as smart as we are. And that the best place to meet your equal educationally is at college. That's all she was saying. She wasn't saying you should not have a career. You should not be a powerful woman.
Don't have to get married at 21.
Right. She was just saying, and I don't disagree with that. It is hard to meet somebody after college. In college, you're all the same age. It's a homogenous group, all of that. So between Marissa Mayer, Sheryl Sandberg, and this Princeton story, let's get some thoughts on what women need to be thinking about right now as they're kind of coming into the workplace.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think women, and I encourage this, I have two nieces, and both of them are adults. One is working on her PhD at Florida A&M, and the other is a teacher. And they're in Columbia, South Carolina. But what I encourage them to do is to get engaged now, volunteer now, take advantage of all the things that you have access to now, because once you become mothers, it's going to change slightly. It does not have to change your entire life. You have to find a way to balance it. Now, I'm not a mother. I do not have any children. I have stepchildren. However, one of the things that I know that women are inherently nurturing.
Sure.
And I saw that as my nieces were growing up, because when they would come to visit me, I found myself jumping out of bed, but without an alarm clock going off, and doing certain things because I knew that I had to take care of them before I could do the rest of work on the rest of the day. And I also find myself doing that on a day-to-day basis when I'm looking at members and talking to members about of my organization, about what they're trying to do and how they're trying to move their business to the next level. But I encourage everyone to do this. You have to move outside of your comfort zone. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Where you're comfortable is not where you should stay.
I like that.
And so that really is what you must do. And so I found myself throughout my career in sitting at tables in some instances where I wasn't necessarily invited, but I just assumed that if there was a chair, that was there for me. If there was a door that was closed, someone said it was locked, I went and I turned it anyway just to make sure. Les Brown, who's a national motivational speaker, told this, and I think this comes from, I can't think of the writer. But basically, he said that you can control a man, and I'll say a woman's mind, by having them to repeat the same thing day after day. He said if they go to a door for like 3 or 4 days in a row and that door is locked, on the fifth day, you can unlock that door and their very mind will not allow them to go back to that door again. And I heard that. It was right after I came out of college and I came to Atlanta, and I thought to myself, I'm never going to do that again. So when I see a parking lot that has that says it's full, I drive in.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, do you just not want to take her with you everywhere you go?
And so I drive in. And 9 times out of 10, I get a spot.
I hear you.
You know, the attendant might keep my car or say park here, but you have to leave your key. You know, but it's basic kinds of things that I've said, you're not going to discount me. Now, I wear heels because I'm 5'3". And so I wear heels because it seems like everybody else, especially men, are taller than I am. So I don't ever want to be, what was the name of the Allie McBeal? Uh-huh. You know, the chair, you know, she would shrink down in her chair. But I do that because I want to look in people's faces. I want to be able to talk to them one on one. And so I encourage women to just move out of where you are and be uncomfortable until you become comfortable.
So, and Dana, I think now you can see the power of the Women's Leadership Forum,
yeah,
where you get to hear the stories like Julie and Liana have told us. And it is, I think, for us as women, how we live in that duality.
Yeah.
And it feels paradoxical that you want to be professional, and yet you're also passionate, and you have compassion for people. You want to be able to make hard decisions and move into those uncomfortable spaces, and yet we are often sensitive to all those around us. But in today's environment, the hope is that that glass ceiling is either moving or has been cracked or maybe crashed. But the reality for us as women is there are still many miles to go and lots of ceiling that hasn't been penetrated. And
yeah,
for us, then, it's the support for each other, the understanding of how and whom, especially those of us who've been around for decades, to begin to not only develop but to encourage those other women to have both the ability and the voice to step up, speak out, and be relevant in the workplace and in their community, because we have those needs everywhere. And so I think for all of us, it's that power, whether it's a title, whether it's your own skill, your own confidence, your own ability to move into those places that we may not be comfortable, but we can be a bit confident because we know that we can make a difference. And it's in that making a difference because we do have the sensitivity as well as the skill set to move forward. And I think as today, it's really interesting. Companies like IBM have worked with Hay for years to define what are the skills required for today and tomorrow. And all of the skills defined have more feminine qualities: collaboration, communication, team building, respect for other, understanding cultural awareness, having global perspective. All those have an eye that has a feminine eye. And it's so both refreshing for me as a math major, because I'm a task person. I want to get from A to B in the quickest, shortest way possible. So I am going to be a good worker. I'm going to get it done, and you're going to trust me. I'm dependable. The and is that I'm also sensitive to the team. So I think that how we as women can move into not just tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow is so exciting, so powerful. And yet to respect and recognize our sense of duality is also the brilliance that we bring to wherever we are.
So, Anne, when you're looking at some of the controversy in the headlines and you all are thinking about what kind of speakers you want and what you want the talks to be about for the forum, are you thinking, let's talk about what Marissa Mayer's doing?
Definitely. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of what she's doing, Marissa Mayer, with her leadership of, and can I just say, Julie's rolling her eyes.
Somehow I knew I was going to wind up having to talk about it. And I've been very, very careful about talking about Melissa because I have a real passionate feeling and opinion about what she's doing. But this, you know, I have to be careful because you just don't want to come spewing it out. But this, I think, goes back to Anne. Anne's point about that's why a forum like the Women's Leadership Forum is so important, because it is a roof under which we can talk about these things. Mm-hmm. As a woman who has a small child, that has been the most challenging thing I've ever faced in my life and the most challenging thing I've ever faced in my career. It's very humbling. Never have I felt more unqualified to be walking around on the sidewalks, but here I am anyway. And I think with a situation like Melissa, where you have a woman who's in a powerful position, doing things that perhaps run contrary to what we would like to, some of us would like to see, as in working from home, and sort of making some of those concessions that are very necessary for working women in some cases, at least some flexibility, especially someone who has the, and I'm very happy for her, has the luxury of having a nursery right next door to her office. I mean, let's be honest, you know, that's not something we can all afford. But beyond just the Melissa Mayers and the examples that are out there, I think if you go back to what Leona said about the empowering force, you know, in other words, you know, we're gonna run into these situations where we have these women who are in high profile positions doing things that maybe we don't agree with or that inspire us or want us to make a difference. And that's a good thing. I think going back to what Leona said about questioning those things, and when you're in a room full of women, I think that's when you feel most free to start thinking, or it may not have even occurred to you that you should drive into that parking lot that was full, but you just heard Leona Bar Davenport say it. And I think for me in my personal life, well, let me say this. When I was a journalist, I used to tape something up above my computer, a little saying, and it was really simple. It was, so what? Mm-hmm. In other words, if I'm out writing a story and I've gone back and gotten excited about it, so what? I still had to make it something that was relevant to readers. In my personal life, my little statement that's taped on my forehead somewhere, let's say, says, really? Question mark. Really? Really? I can't do that? Betcha maybe I can. You know, really the parking lot is full? Maybe not. And women don't always go there because they feel like, oh, people are going to think I'm a you-know-what, or I'm bossy and I'm pushy and all that. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, and when you're around a big group of women and you're listening to these established leaders, you know, you sometimes for the first time, the light bulb goes off.
Yeah.
And you think, perhaps maybe there's a different way for me to look at this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the value of all coming together. I mean, I'm going to step off the soapbox on Melissa Mayer. Let somebody else take it away. I do like the Lean In book.
You
good
do.
Good for Facebook Lady. That's awesome.
Good
go
for Facebook
go
Lady.
Go Sheryl Sandberg.
That's right.
Yeah. When I think about the idea of bringing everyone back to the office, see, I have mixed emotions about it. I believe that we're becoming quite the world of non-socialization. And I think that there are times that we do need to be in each other's face and faces in order to be creative, to bounce things off of people. So I understand it to some degree from the management point of view. Let's come in. Let's have some cohesiveness. Let's know who we're working with. Let's, you know, it's the let's part, because I think we could get to the point where there is no let's.
Yeah.
And we're all talking through machines and gadgets. So I think there's a positive side that you could look at. And I know that there's some people that are being hurt as a result of it. So that's that tough side of me that says, I kind of understand what she's saying.
Yeah, so that's my response, is that I don't know her workplace.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she's got to do in order to, quote, save her company.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who's always saying, get off the back deck onto the front porch, get involved in the community. So I understand the back deck isolation, that you can become so detached that you're no longer able to really understand mission and how to deliver on that mission. So that's the part that I say, I don't know her work. I understand that she's had to make decisions that are often not popular, but are a part of creating an environment that will produce what she knows she has to produce. And at the same time, again, sort of where we all are, is that isolation. We've worked for companies for years to create family-friendly workforces, and I am one of those biggest proponents of creating a family-friendly workforce, which involves a lot of flexibility and use of technology. Obviously, I come from a technology company, so how do we make that as easy as possible for people to be effective and efficient in their jobs, but understanding their family is a very important part of that process to be effective and efficient. So I think a lot of it is the judging her when we don't sit in her a Mano Manila, whatever her shoes are. But on the other hand, to know that there it wasn't an easy decision.
Yeah.
But if her role is as CEO to make that decision for her position at that time, go for it. And the and is, though, we've got to remember that we do have tools and technology in today's environment that create a family-friendly environment for work, but also can create the best for the company, which is the why we're here.
I think it's really interesting because, I think we could do a whole show just on her decision.
Yeah.
But maybe you guys would all want to be anonymous. I don't know. Julie would want to be anonymous.
It's okay.
But I think what's really interesting is that, and we're just going to, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show, so we're just going to leave people with something to ponder. But I think it's really interesting because if a man had made that decision, we women would have been all over him. Like, this is anti-women.
What?
This is, you know, it would have been really, I mean, the Fuhrer was bad enough. Mm-hmm. But if a man had done it, he never would have been able to get away with it. So in a way, she sort of used her womanness in a way to be able to pull that decision off. And yes, she still got criticized, but she could sort of say, well, I'm a woman with a new baby and I'm able to do it. So with a nursery right next door, but whatever.
No, that's a really good point. And I think back to Anne, I think secretly as women, not secretly, we should all be rooting for her, really, because she is in a tough spot. She does have to save a company. We really don't know what she's dealing with. I think that to the flip side of that, all of us women know, well, hey, wait a minute, you know, those women that were out there working on that flexible schedule and working from home and probably being very productive and helping your company now maybe not have that option. That's a huge, big deal to those ladies.
Yeah.
And that's a big life changer, not necessarily in good ways. So it's just, you just have to think of both sides of it. But I tell you what, I'm going to throw my hat in for her. I'm rooting for her because she's a woman leader. She's in a tough spot and I hope she does really well. And I'm sincere when I say that.
I think, you know, first of all, let's point out that it also hurts the men who are working from home and helping their wives with the kids and all of that stuff. I mean, there are men who have a flexible schedule so they can leave at 3 and take their kids to soccer. Mm-hmm. And now they can't do that either. So it's hurting, as you said, and the family. Exactly. It's not just women. But also, you know, I think part of what made it so controversial was that it was a blanket statement for the entire very large company, as opposed to maybe going to her next rundown of people and saying, listen, why don't you evaluate your departments? And if you need people to be here, make that rule. And if you don't, that's okay. But by making a blanket statement, I think that's almost where she got into hot water. And I think those are, you know, getting back to the forum, the perfect kinds of discussions.
Exactly right.
Because as all of us, hopefully, become more and more powerful leaders or are helping to mentor other leaders or whatever, you're going to face decisions like that at your own companies. Where you have to decide, do I make a blanket policy like this? Do I take the time and dig into department by department? What is the effect? What kind of example am I setting? All of those things.
Yeah, and one of the best ways is to, when you come to this kind of forum, is to learn how other women do it. I mean, Carol Tomei is going to be a keynote speaker this year. Barbara Babbitt Kaufman. These are very established female leaders who've gone through these big, tough decisions and come out on top. And just hearing them talk, just being in the audience and getting to listen to them, it's how I feel today with these two ladies. I mean, I'm not qualified by any means to be sitting here on equal playing field with these ladies. But, you know, you learn something, and that is, as women, very powerful. It's okay if we're specific just to women. We're just doing it as a women's leadership forum. That's really powerful and very meaningful and very profound.
And the topics, I think, touch where everyone can be. So you can say, I can see something either in the persons who are speaking or the topics of the sessions where I am really at that place.
Yeah.
And I can listen, I can learn, I can hear, and I can talk. I can be valued at that table.
And also the people you're meeting.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I have to say, one of the best things my mother once said to me, you got to love advice from mom. My mother once said to me after I went to work for a company that was god awful, and I was there for 2 months before I started looking for another job. It was horrible. And she said, if you make one friend, one good contact out of that experience, it was worth it. And I did. And it was. And that's somebody that I'm still in touch with to this day, 15 years later or whatever. So, you know, you go to a forum like that and you hear some great talks and maybe one little tip sticks with you. Pull into the parking lot that's full, you know, or try the locked door or don't give up, I think, obviously, is the message.
Exactly.
Don't let somebody else tell you when to stop. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. If that one message is what you carry through and you remember it 10 years later, it was well worth it. Right. So, to wrap up, let's do two things. Let's again remind people the date is Friday.
Friday, April 5th.
Tickets are still available.
Go online.
Right. Google. We're all smart enough to do that.
Yes.
Or go to the Atlanta Business Chronicle website for details. And this show, because it's called Results Matter, we like to sort of end with results that matter. So let's sort of go around and just have you each sort of talk about where you see the forum going, women going, in the next 5 years.
I'm excited for us. I think, you know, we have come a long way, as the old saying goes, but that's okay. And it's, I think the forum is going to live on. 15 years is a long time. That should tell you something. If a forum's been around for 15 years, probably we're checking it out. And I know it's going to be around for many years to come. And I'm excited to see what's next for us, ladies. And I'm looking to have a front seat.
Nice.
Well, I know it's going to be powerful. As I said, I've been participating the last 4 years, and each year I walk away feeling better and feeling closer to women in the city that I do not know and some that I do know. And I love watching them tell their stories and watching the aha moments happen in the audience. So it's that kind of day where if you leave and you're not empowered, you don't think a little differently, then you may be dead. But if you come, you get engaged, you meet new people. And that's one of the things I want to encourage everyone to do. It's good to come with friends. It's great to come with coworkers, but move outside of that. Meet someone. If there's someone that you spot across the room, and for whatever reason, they may look a little interesting to you for any reason, go over and say hello. You never know what that connection might bring for you and to you, and vice versa. That person that you might notice might be shy. They may not be the confident person that you think. So you may be lifting them up also by just approaching them and starting that conversation.
I love that. I think if everyone made a point of going over to the one person at any event that looked a little bit lost, it would be a better event for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you even made that your mission, you'd probably feel less lost.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because I know I have gone to many, and I'm pretty outgoing, but mm-hmm. I have gone to many an event, and I've sort of been standing there like, oh God, these people all know each other. I don't know anybody. I'm just going to go to the food table and, you know.
Ann Kramer is the pro at working a room. I listened to her do this talk years and years ago, and it never left me how to work a room.
So. But I was just thinking, one of my favorite signs that we tell people is no clumping, is when you walk in with your buddy, then you'd go separate ways, and then you come back and you talk about what you've learned, and then you can go across the other side of the room and see those people that your buddy met, and it is amazing. But I think when you ask about this, it's 15. 5 years will be 20. Every year is different, and yet the consistency is every year we listen to what are the issues and concerns of women, and then how do we bring those most relevant speakers and topics to the table. So again, consistency and clarity, and 5 years will be a bang-up 20th anniversary. The and is it will be different from this year because the issues will be different. So come today, the next 5 years, and celebrate 20 in 5 years.
I love it. All right. Well, I want to thank our guests, Julie Bryant-Fisher, Leona Barr Davenport, and Ann Kramer, all from the Women's Leadership Forum. Thank you, ladies, so much for being here.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you.
This has been Results Matter. I'm Dana Barrett, and we will see you next time.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.